of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
We've cut our deficit, by the way, by more than half since I came into office.
Another stern warning from the Congressional Budget Office. The money the government owes will be about three-quarters of the size of the U.S. economy by the end of the year.
Fighting for Idaho.
We just want to find out what it is that's causing a customer that's been with us for a long time to leave.
Because that's what I want.
Tell me how that's helping.
That's what I want.
Okay, so why is that what you want?
Because that's what I want.
Fighting for you.
Your thoughts on the Gipper?
I could say it in four words. A good man, great president. He's a wonderful man to work for, and I was fortunate to have been there. It was one of the great moments of my life.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Okay, you take it easy, my friend.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, K. Miller in the Morning. So glad that you are with us. Joining us now is a young man who goes where the action is. That is Dennis Michael Lynch, documentary filmmaker. And I believe, Mr. Lynch, we met you at the Republican convention in Tampa.
You know, it's funny. I'm sitting here saying, I know this guy. Yes, we did. We did. How are you?
You know, I'm always amazed at you putting it on the line. And we'll talk about your appearances on Fox News and your documentaries and everything else. But you care about things that most of us here, whether it's in Idaho or other parts of America, don't want to touch because it's politically incorrect. But you're right there on the border, the frontier, documenting what's actually happening, and it's not good.
Look, you know, Kevin, you, everybody else, even on Fox, you know, when I get introduced, I'm always introduced as documentary filmmaker or investigative filmmaker. I mean, at the end of the day, I've been an entrepreneur since I've I'm 18 years old. So I like to say I'm a CEO who knows how to use a camera. I'm not doing what I do because I want to be a movie star. I do what I do because I want to make a difference. I was at the bottom of those twin towers on 9/11. I ran from those towers. When I ran from those towers, I left two multi-million dollar businesses behind, and I got in. I went to film school for 5 weeks. That's it. I just learned about how to use the camera and editing, and I said, all right, now I'm going out to do my thing and make a difference. I fell into this immigration thing, and you know, I cover a lot of different stories. I do Obamacare, veterans, you name it. But this one specifically I spend the most time and attention on because I really do believe, and I have always believed since I got engaged in it, this is the number one problem facing our country, and yet it doesn't get addressed as if it is. What's taking place right now at the border, what I've seen this month in Texas, is so bad that, again, I'm feeling like I did on 9/11 in the sense that I've got to make a transition. So sooner or later, I'm going to be leaving films, and I'm going to be getting into I'm going to try to run for public office because I'm not seeing anybody address this problem at the core the way it needs to be addressed.
DMLDaily.com is the website of Dennis Michael Lynch. So you're an entrepreneur. You and I were talking about your DVDs, and I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be an easier way to make a living. You're telling the truth. You're doing a great public service, but to go into not even conservative politics, but to go into the truth, a lot of people just like to tune out. Why, and you talked about what changed your life, but to make it a commercial endeavor has got to be easier said than done.
Look, it's brutal. You know, it's brutal, and there are days, Kevin, I'm not going to lie to you, there are days when, you know, when my ego battles me a little bit because I get people telling me, you know, your movies are so much better than Michael Moore's. Your movies are so much more interesting than Dinesh D'Souza's. Why don't you put them in theaters? And I always come back to the same thing. The people who are going to go see Dinesh's new movie right now called America, right? You're not going to get anybody on the left. You're not going to get anybody in the center to go watch his movie in a theater. What you're going to do is you're going to get the people listening to this radio show who would show up to an event if he was there speaking. My problem, or our problem as a country, is not reaching the people that are listening to us right now. It's reaching the people who aren't. So that's why when people go to my website and they get the DVDs that I make, I always send them free copies. I mean, what filmmaker does that? And the point is that, listen, you're on my team. You want to know the truth. You want to share the truth. Watch this film. And if you think it's worthy with sharing your neighbor who is either a liberal or completely out of touch with the news cycles or whoever it is, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. If you think they need to see the truth, give it to them. And I know they come to America 1 and they come to America 2. We're completely instrumental in getting the Senate Immigration Reform Bill, which was created last year from the Gang of Eight and passed the Senate. I know that those films helped stop that bill getting through the House, because I've had Congress people tell me that they've never received more phone calls in their life on people trying to stop a bill. And they said constantly that people would say, I watched these two films. There's no way you can pass this bill. And so, you know, I did the same thing right now with my latest film, We Ride to D.C. It's all about how it is that the mainstream media never covers the stories. And if they do cover the stories, they distort the truth. I can give you an example of the border, which just would blow your mind. I mean, here's one. You ready?
Yep.
6 months ago, 7 months ago, I'm watching, somebody says to me, oh, they're going to do the border tonight on ABC News. So Diane Sawyer's there, and she's reaching 9 million people every night. Fox News on its best night, if O'Reilly has his best night, he's hitting 3 million, just to put that into perspective. And I'm watching this, and Diane Sawyer's got the president on. He's saying the borders are more secure than they've ever been. They're showing how there's drones, there's this, there's that. They're catching a girl over the fence. I mean, you would sit back and say, all right, the borders are looking pretty good. I got on an airplane. I went down to that same spot, went 1 mile to the left, and I show you where the fences, 18-foot ballard fences, are being cut down, just the steel girders being removed 46 times in 18 months. Trucks from Mexico filled with drugs, filled with people, have come through and got through. Now, what makes that amazing is that where it comes through is on a ranch. It's called the Ladd Ranch. It's down, south of Tucson. It's called the Tucson Sector. There is the most expensive Border Patrol station in the country right next to that ranch. They've got $40 million worth of technology assets, drones, cameras, sensors, you name it. They haven't caught one truck in 46 attempts. So that sort of story I give to Megyn Kelly, she puts on Fox. So you've got two different sort of takes on the entire border. Did ABC News lie? No, they didn't lie. They showed you the part, the very small part of the border that is secured. And then all of a sudden you go 1 mile to the left, and then you see the rest of the border. So that's what they do. They sell the agenda. They sell the agenda of the president and the left side who want open borders, or whether it's the IRS, or whatever the stories are. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I make We Ride to D.C. You go there, weridetodc.com. You get the DVD. I send you extras. You show that to somebody, no matter what party they're in, and they sit there and they say, "My goodness, I'm being lied to." And so that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping the more I do, the more people see my stuff, the more that they'll maybe vote a little differently when it comes 2014 and 2016.
Dennis Michael Lynch with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, dmldaily.com. So let's talk about they come to America, they come to America too. We were talking about this in Tampa. How bad has it gotten since you created those films? It must be indescribable.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you go back to that 9/11 moment. I had everything going in my life. I was making crazy amount of money. But what I saw just changed my life. I have never said in making They Come to America 1 or They Come to America 2 or even We Ride to D.C. over the last 3 years, have I said this has changed my life. It's not. But what I saw in Texas has changed my life. My compass is saying I got to move into another direction. I'll give you three specifics that support it. Number one, the amount of disease that is coming through that border right now, Kevin, is earth-shattering. And as the Border Patrol agents have told me, not even Fox News is covering it the right way. And one of the reasons why nobody's covering it the right way is because nobody has real access into these facilities like they should. And I get reports from these Border Patrol guys that say, hey, listen, we know a congressman's coming. They're cleaning up the place. And so, you know, this sort of thing, and remember, the Border Patrol agents, important part, the Border Patrol agents know what I do. They trust me emphatically. So they feed me information more than they do anybody else. So I know, and in fact, if you go back and you watch my stuff on Fox, when I'm on Fox News, I'm always ahead of this story. And the way I'm always ahead of it is because I'm being fed the information and the intelligence that these guys are getting. So the disease is going to start to spread across the country the more these people have been released. And you're going to see everywhere throughout the country come school time at the end of August or September, depending on where you live, that people are going to say, wow, we're being overwhelmed by all these new people. Where did they come from? Because, again, most of America doesn't even know what's going on down at the southern border. So the disease component is a major thing. Number two, 50% of what it is that you're seeing, 50% of what's coming through the border is just handing themselves over to ICE and to the Border Patrol. The other 50% is getting through scot-free, and that's what really scares me to death. There are reports right now coming out of Mexico through my intelligence that MS-13 gang members are being paid up to $50,000 right now to smuggle in what they call special interest, high-priority customers. These are people from the Middle East, from Russia, from China. They're delivering them anywhere in the U.S. Now, you tell me, is you think somebody's paying $50,000 a head because they want to come in and pick crops or because they want to hang sheetrock? No. So the criminal element, the murderers, the rapists, the potential terrorists, they're coming through our border every single day. They're already here in the U.S., and frankly, the federal government knows this, and they're doing very, very little about it to stop it at the border. They're trying to catch the problem now that it's in the United States, and as far as I'm concerned, that's too late. And then the third part, which I don't think anybody's really going to feel until come January 2015 when the Obamacare business mandate kicks in, what you're going to see, it can be devastating to the American worker if President Obama signs an executive order. If he puts an executive order forward which says that these people, not only coming in now, but the people who are already here already, I think it's 20 million plus, they'll be able to live here and they'll get temporary work permits. If he does that, what we're going to see is the perfect storm, because the businesses, the companies around the country who are subjected to that business mandate, you know, I've been a businessman my whole life. I had 200 employees, 100 of them worked in my warehouse. Underneath what I'm talking about here, that sort of executive order, I could get rid of the 100 people who worked in my warehouse. I could relieve myself of having to give them Obamacare. And now I can legally hire these illegals and replace them in the warehouse and not have to give them Obamacare, thus saving myself almost up to millions of dollars. So you take that story and you spread that across the country, and you're going to see welfare and unemployment skyrocket for Americans, because now we're replacing them with low-end labor who aren't entitled to the Obamacare mandate.
Dennis Michael,
is that?
it is, but obviously we can't afford this. If we have more people not working, no one's going to be able to contribute, and then you've got, again, the social educational programs that are going to have to be ramped up to take care of the illegals.
Well, that's what I'm saying with the schools. I mean, from a health perspective, the nurses, your school nurse is not going to be prepared to take in and take on what's coming into the schools. And a lot of the times what happens with the illegal alien population is that, you know, one person figures out how to skip the system and then they spread it to the rest of them. It's happening at the border. It happens in the schools. Schools now aren't even required to take identification. They're not required of taking any kind of social security number or anything. It's just basically, here's my kid, now teach him. So, you know, if they give paperwork that says that Johnny got his immunization shots, that could be the same paperwork that some other Johnny used and another Johnny before that used. And this is the sort of thing that I hear all the time. But to your point, think about the educational process. It costs up to 50% more to educate these students than it does an American student who understands how to speak and write English. So the cost of the education for these people across the country is going to be enormous. And trust me, these people are all going to school. They're all going to school. And the thing is, here's a very important part, Kevin. Right now the media, Fox, everybody, is focused in on these children. But the children are a very small percentage of the overall people who have come in over the last few months. I'll give you an example. They keep on talking about these 52,000 kids. Okay, in the last 2 months, and this was confirmed by the New York Times, there have been over 300,000 families. Now, 300,000 people, I'm sorry, 300,000 people who go underneath the auspices of being a family. And a family could be as much as just a mom and a kid, or a mom and two kids. So you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people who have come in and nobody's talking about them. Border Patrol agents have told me, and I've put this up on Fox News with an interview with the Border Patrol agent, none of those people were screened. They basically would just sat down and said, do you have any health concerns? And obviously they're all saying no. And if they're not spitting up blood or they don't have any, you know, gaping holes in their body, they're just put to the bus station and they go on their way. So this is a very, very dangerous situation. And like I said, we're not going to really feel it until the months to come.
Dennis Michael Lynch with us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Mr. Lynch, please stand by. Much more coming up. Let's get you to work safely and on.
I have enough problems fighting the drug cartels with my deputies and illegal immigration here, and we do not need unaccompanied juveniles flown into our state, compliments of President Obama.
The thing this administration needs to do is immediately deport these families, these children. I know it sounds harsh.
This is illegal. It's got to stop.
Why is it stopping
today?
Food for your brain, Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, the great American, our great friend, patriot, Dennis Michael Lynch with us at 580KIDO. Let me ask you, how dangerous is it for you to go down to the border?
Very dangerous. In fact, in your little segment there, the lead-in, that was Sheriff Paul Babiou, who is from Arizona. And he is talking about how dangerous it is. He's 100 miles up from the border. The border in certain spots, Kevin, is more dangerous than you can even begin to imagine, because the activity that crosses over on that border, especially the criminal element, be it drugs or be it the high-priority people. Well, first of all, let me say, you'll never see the high-priority people. What's really scary is that the drug cartels are watching us better than we're watching them. They have people, and this is, I'm not giving any new revelation. I mean, most people know this. They have people on their side watching, and they have people on our side watching. So the Border Patrol becomes essentially an Oreo. I mean, they're the cream in the middle. And it becomes almost an impossibility for them to really stop what's going on. But there are certain parts of the day, especially when the sun goes down, where you don't want to be anywhere near that border. And look, at the end of the day, this is a business for the drug cartels. They want to get their people through. They want to get their drugs through. If you're going to stop them and you're going to cause them grief in terms of making them lose money, they're not going to be very happy. So when I go down there, there have been times when I said, I'm pushing the envelope a little bit too far here. But most of what I do is calculated. And look, at the end of the day, I'm not getting in anybody's way. You know, so it's a dangerous, dangerous thing. I mean, the people, let me say this, Kevin. You know, I'm from New York, and, you know, in New York, you'll go around and you'll see there's two cops to every car, you know, every cop car. And usually law enforcement is a one-to-one ratio. You got a bad guy, you got one cop going after him, or it's a one-to-two ratio. You got a bad guy, you got two cops going after him. The Border Patrol guys, they're dealing with a really unfair ratio. Most of the time, these guys are in the truck by themselves, and they're trying to catch 20, 30, 40 people at a time. So if they catch 5 out of the 20, and I've been privy to this, and you could see this, and they come to America too. I worked with these guys at nighttime. If they catch 5 of the 20, I mean, think about it. One cop who catches 5 guys, he's a superhero, but 15 got away. And so that is why the stuff that goes down at the border, not only is it very dangerous, but it becomes almost impossible to plug the holes because we're so undermanned. And look, I always say this. If I were the President of the United States tomorrow, I can solve this problem in a day. I could solve it in a day. If you strip the incentive for people to come here, and this includes all those kids and all those families that have been coming as of late in droves, if you remove the incentive of work, the incentive of the idea of amnesty, those two things right now are driving everybody here. So if you remove that, and the way I would remove that is I would put in an executive order immediately that said, if you hire an illegal alien, you're going to get nailed, $10,000 fine per head. You do it a second time, you're going to jail. Immediately, you'd see employers stop employing these people. And then at the same time, although this may sound as if it's a bit cruel, I would start deporting people. I would start deporting people in a humane way immediately, starting with the people in detention centers in South Texas, because you need to send a message to the world, and that message is, do not cross my borders. If you cross my borders, you are not going to get any sort of amnesty. You are not going to get our citizenship as if it comes out of a Cracker Jack's box. You are going to be sent back home. And when you send that message around the world, people will stop coming. And then, Kevin, the Border Patrol can be placed on the border. If you need to, you put the National Guard down there and you stop the criminal element coming through. This problem would be solved overnight.
Dennis Michael Lynch with us, DML Daily. Kevin Miller, The Morning 580 KIDO. Dennis, one final question, though, and, you know, when you're out there with the Border Patrol, when you're by yourself, I mean, is it the equivalent of all of a sudden, yeah, I know how to swim, but all of a sudden I'm in deep water and I want to make it back to shore?
What do you mean, from the illegal standpoint?
Well, from your standpoint, just as a entrepreneur, documentary filmmaker, self-protection.
Let me be very clear about something. When you stand at the bottom of the Twin Towers and you watch Americans, whether they're Asian, black, white, female, male, whatever religion, when you watch them jump from 80 stories high and you trail them all the way down and you watch them hit the concrete, you don't forget what that looks like. And I am the most determined American there is right now. I will do whatever it is that I have to do to ensure the fact that that never happens again, because that could have been my son or my daughter inside that building. That could have been my mother, could have been my wife. And when I go to unemployment lines, which I do all the time in making my films, I imagine, wow, this could be my daughter sitting on this unemployment line. This could be my son. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make sure that sort of thing doesn't happen to them. And by trying to protect my kids, and I'm trying to protect my country at the same time. I love them both. That's it. So I'm not going anywhere.
Well, we appreciate it. It's been too long since we've had you on. And, again, please be very careful because you're down there in the territory with the hostiles.
Well, you know what? Look, as I said to you, I don't push the envelope beyond the realm of reason. I appreciate the concern. I appreciate the warning. But that's like telling the Border Patrol guys, hey, listen, don't go to the border because it's dangerous. I mean, you know, nobody's forcing me to do this. And like I said, I'm not taunting somebody, although I don't know if you saw Huckabee the other night, but we were down at the border and we showed it on Huckabee. We had a Mexican military chopper flying into U.S. territory because they were trying to help get people across. And, I mean, they were taunting us, going right over our head. And finally, we just said, it's time for us to leave. It's not worth it anymore. The United States of America, Kevin, is in a bad place right now, and the President of the United States is smiling the entire way through it.
Dennis Michael Lynch, DML Daily. Your latest endeavor, if people would like to take a look at and listen to it and buy it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, if they go to weridetodc.com or they go to theycometoamerica.com, it leads to the same website. You'll see it there. If somebody goes in and they get the DVD, I send them the free extras. People ask me all the time, Kevin, I'm sure they ask you as well. They ask me all the time, what can we do? What can the average citizen do? I hate to say that it ties to money, but what in this world doesn't? You know, for $20, you wind up getting all these films. You go and you hand them out to people. And believe me, I already told you the story about how the bill got stopped. It works. I've also had other people who used to hire illegals stop hiring them after they've seen the films. Most people don't understand what's taking place with all these different issues. These films, not only in immigration, but IRS, Benghazi, Obamacare, you name it, jobs, unemployment, it gives the visual and it gives the tools that you need to say to somebody, just watch this. You're not going to watch Fox News? Just watch this. And I'm telling you, it will make an impact. They may not admit it, Kevin. They may not admit it to you. But we're not looking for admittals. We're looking for people to wake up.
Dennis, thank you. We'll have you back.
Thanks, bud.
All right. Dennis Michael Lynch with us. You recall we met him at the Republican convention in Tampa a couple years ago. Glad to see that he's still alive and still fighting for America, which is what we do each and every day as we stare down the progressives, as we stare down the people that tell us what's wrong with America. You know what this program's about? It's what's right with America. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
It's a disease that touches all of us, unfortunately, and hopefully one day it will be gone. We're talking about cancer. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. We're joined by Nicole Cassidy, who you may recall if you listen all the time, like my friend Martha. I'm trying to think of some of the people that listen for the entire 4 hours. Why do I know that? Because when we do a rerun, they always give me a hard time, but we had her on last week talking about the big event this weekend on the Boise River Paddle Out Cancer. Nicole, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen Saturday and why is it so important.
Okay. Saturday at 1 p.m. is the float launch, and it's the typical Boise River float. You start at Barber Park, and you take out at Ann Morrison Park. While you're going down the river, there's also a poker run. Once you get to Ann Morrison Park, there's after float festivities at the Old Timers Shelter. We have food, ice cold drinks for the really hot day, live music by Soul Patch, and lots of prizes to give away.
Sure, and now that's a great hook. What about the cause? Tell us a little bit about, you know, we've had Run Against Cancer, we've had This Against Cancer, That Against Cancer, the Paddling Out Cancer. Tell us a little bit about that.
What makes this run or fun run, I guess, a little bit unique is, for one, it's down the Boise River, and on a hot day, I think you'd much rather be on the river than on the hot pavement.
Sure.
But also, it's benefiting an organization called River Discovery. And what River Discovery offers is they provide transforming river adventures for youth, teen, and adult cancer survivors. I can speak from experience. I went on one of their trips right after my diagnosis in 2010, and it was life-changing. It really does offer a different kind of healing. And what our goal is to get patients out of their clinical setting and into nature where a different kind of healing can take place, and that's the healing for your soul and just your overall spirit, and kind of get you back to nature. And nature's so healing just all on its own.
Well, when we think of cancer, we talk about how it's transformed us. And if you could talk a little bit, if you could, to share your experiences. There are a lot of folks that live their lives each and every day. They got their coffee. They listen to this show. They've got their own problems. And then all of a sudden, your control is taken away from you, and you're in these places where they have nice people, but, you know, hospitals are there for the sick, and you go from, you know, floating the river to therapy, chemotherapy, and all these other things that, you know, save our lives but aren't the most pleasant things to go through.
No, absolutely not. One of my girlfriends described it in a really great way. She said, it's like you're running a race and everybody's there with you. You're right in the middle of the crowd, trucking along, and then suddenly you have to step on the sidelines. And your world kind of stands still, and everything kind of gets crazy and quiet, and you really can't even think or hear. It's just you're in this vortex of all kinds of heavy information, and you don't really know what to do next. But you're looking out, and while your life is kind of stood still, all those runners are just passing you by. And it's just not a very good moment to be in. Life stands still, and you kind of just want somebody to take you by the hand and tell you what to do next. It's very life-changing. It kind of makes you take a moment to really put things into perspective, and your priorities change. It completely shifts.
And by the way, you can go to riverdiscovery.org/paddle-out-cancer, or you can just go to our website. You'll see a picture of Kevin Miller with the cowgirls from yesterday, the Rodeo Queens, and we'll have a link there right now at 580kido.com. Can we ever really emphasize the toll cancer takes on the individual and those people affected by it?
No, and I think that's what makes programs that we offer so valuable, because not only do we offer programs for just the survivors alone, but also for the co-survivors, and it's just as much their fight as it is the person battling the disease. And it's really great to kind of get them out, let them have a good time, enjoy themselves, smile for once. Maybe it's been a long time since they've really just let their hair down and allowed themselves to enjoy themselves. So it's really valuable.
You know, we seem to underestimate, at least maybe because we're all brought up to be big, tough people that, well, I don't need to do this, I don't need to do that. But, Nicole, just from what you've said here at 580KIDO, people do need that, not only the clinical healing, mm-hmm. but the idea of getting in the river, talking to other folks, getting out, because that, you know, you get so much more back when you do that.
Absolutely. And it's not the type of trip where that's all you're talking about the entire time is cancer. No, it's camaraderie with other people who've gone through exactly what you've gone through, and people who understand the process. And if you're having a struggle with whether it's a physical setback or an emotional setback, they get it, and they don't even have to ask questions. They just understand you. And to surround yourself with people who just get it is so powerful.
Does that feeling of vulnerability, does that feeling of being scared ever leave you?
You know, it's funny. I don't think it really ever does. You think it does. Life gets back to normal, and you start kind of getting back into the grind and nitty-gritty of things. But then your back starts to hurt, and you're like, oh, gosh, I really hope that this isn't something serious. And you just really – you pay extra attention to those aches and pains because you never know. It's a complete crapshoot. There's no – you could be stage one and end up with metastatic cancer a few years later. You just never know. And then you could be stage four and end up in remission for the rest of your life. You never know. So this disease is so there's so many unanswered questions that
sure.
It's just – you always worry for the rest of your life.
You know, it's at 580KIDO, and I've shared this. You know, my sister fought lymphoma. And she's doing well. A lot of people would like to know that. I had two aunts that that died of cancer. And when you talk about you never know, I can remember being at my sister's wedding. And I really didn't pick up on this because my Aunt Candy had fought cancer, had gone on my TV show when she didn't have any hair. Mm-hmm. Felt that passionately about supporting it. And she looked the picture of health. And even though she was in incredible pain, you know, I'm sitting there talking to her. She's asking me all these questions about myself. And I go, dude, what's up with that? And she goes, well, you know, I don't have much time left. And for me, it didn't hit me until 3 months later when she died. And I see the impact it's had on me. I've seen the impact it's had on her family, my mother, to this day misses her. So what do we say to family members that have to deal with this? Because, you know, it's traumatic enough going through this. But then you have the people that are, you know, have to, you know, through thick or thin, deal with the outside world, then the stress of the inside world of people that are fighting.
Right. I understand that firsthand. Just watching my husband, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so watching him stress out about bringing money home and providing the financial stability so I could continue treatment and continue getting better and not stress about finances. And then come home and have to help out with my daughter and do extra things that he normally wouldn't have to do. And it does take a toll. It's, like I said, it's very much their battle. It's just as much their battle as it is the person actually fighting it. The best thing that you can do is just be there. Be there for when they need a day to have a shoulder, or if they need to get out of the house, take them out of the house. Do whatever you feel like they need in that moment. But the best thing you can do is listen. Every person is different, and their needs are going to be completely different. So listen to them. May not be what you think they need, but it may be what they need, and they'll give you those hints by if you just sit there and listen to what they're talking about.
580KIDO, we're talking about Paddle Out Cancer this Saturday. For more information, you can go to riverdiscovery.org/paddle-out-cancer or you can just go to 580KIDO.com. Look at my blog, look at the 7:30 segment, and there's a link to that right now, even as we speak. What do you say to someone who, you know, 2 weeks ago they're invulnerable, now they're going, they got the chemo ready to go, and they feel like the world's collapsed on them?
This too shall get better, and it doesn't matter if you are stage one or stage four. You'll start to understand that you, as long as you have a medical team that you feel like they have your best interest in mind and you feel 100% confident, just trust them. Go with them. But more than anything, trust your instinct. Even if you have the best doctors in the world, if something just doesn't feel right, go with your gut and just believe in that intuition that we all have inside of us. And just buckle up and you know, it's a terrible ride to be on. And I say this all the time, initiation to this club absolutely sucks, but you're surrounded by some of the most incredible people and most grounded people you will ever meet in your life. And just embrace that and get to know them and let them be your warriors with you. Like I said, it doesn't matter if you're stage one or stage four. Not only are you a survivor, but you're also a warrior fighting something really hefty. So just surround yourself with people who love you, and you'll get through this.
And you're not alone.
No, absolutely not alone.
Great job.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
And hope you're having a great day. Coming up next hour, your chance to win tickets to the Boise Open and the Snake River Stampede. Let's get you to work safely and on time. Hope you're having a good day. 7:59 coming up next, best-selling author Stephen Hunter. You don't want to miss it. Fox News, your chance to win tickets to golf and the rodeo, only with Kay Milley, 580 KIDO.
Serving Meridian.